And then at 11:30, when she leaves, then we'll just go through the preliminaries and everything. How about that? All right. Well, you know, it ain't set in stone, is it? I mean, hey, it ain't set the way you got to preach it at a certain time. And I know that some of y'all fuss at me because I stand, I won't shut down, but hey, I'm trying to do things biblically because, the Apostle Paul, he stood and all the others that stood, and I know the Lord has his hand in it, so I don't have to worry about it. But the will this morning, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read three verses here. And it's 13, 14, and verse 15. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your prayers this week. Because last Sunday, I'm going to tell you, I didn't know if I was going to end up being here this week or not. I didn't know if I was going to be in the hospital. Because I'll tell you what, it's just one of them things that happened. But hey, thank God he's still on the throne. Thank God he's still my physician. Thank the Lord that he is able to do mighty things in an individual's life. Now, this morning I want to read three verses of scripture right here. And then I'm going to get into the message. We're speaking about security. And it says a warning against the false teachers. It's what it's about. If you have a Scofield Bible, and have a Scofield, it's on 12:38. But verse 13 in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this, for such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if this ministry also be transformed as the ministry of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. We can see right here where we have false teachers, we have false preachers out here today, and that's basically what he's saying. But it says we have deceitful workers. We have workers out here that is trying to get people into the house of the Lord. But they're deceitful. They're lying to the people just to get them in church. Just like I've told you many times, I can go out here and I can offer somebody, if they'll promise me that they'll come to church this Sunday morning and this Sunday night, then after the service tonight, then I will take them to wherever they want to go eat. If they want to eat a hot dog, fine. They will come and they will go for the hot dog. They're not coming and coming for the right reason. And we as individuals are deceitful workers if we go out and do things like that and trying to get people in on deceitfulness that is in our hearts. And it says transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They say transforming themselves, and we see all the time that there are people out here that are saying that, well, there's no God. There's no Lord Jesus, and there's no Holy Spirit. You know, so basically, that is what the Supreme Court of the United States had said. They are saying that there is no God. They said that when they made the law. When they changed the law. Because they're not supposed to change no law unless it is by the people and for the people. But they do it because they want to do it. Because of what? They are trying to satisfy one or two individuals. Now, I'm not here to satisfy anybody else but no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to tickle anybody's ears. I'm not here to tell them about God's precious love, and that's all I teach, and that's all I preach about. No, if you preach about God's love, you also got to preach about God's wrath, because God is a God of wrath and not just a God of love. But the God of wrath will bring us back unto Him. And says, and no one marvels, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We're living in that day and time. The people I hear, they're looking and say, well, I don't need the church. As long as I'm saved, I don't need the church. As long as I'm saved, I don't need to come to the house of God and fellowship. As I am doing a work for the Lord, it don't bother me if I don't come to the church. But I'm going to tell you something, it should bother them. It should bother them because they don't go to the church. It should bother them to the point when they do come to the church that they just don't come in here and just sit down and feel good. The house of the Lord is not a place to where we can come in and feel good. We must have the Spirit of God touching individuals' hearts. We must have the Holy Spirit working within the hearts and the lives of the people. And this is a message that's addressed to all who think that they are saved but are not certain. We have a whole lot of people out here today that, yes, they think that they're saved, but they never have asked Jesus Christ personally to save their soul and to come into their heart and to live within their heart and be the Lord of their life. If they would do that, then you wouldn't have to worry about having pews in a church that is empty. You wouldn't have to worry about a church or worry about the finances. Why? Because you will always have the people here. Why? Because they want to come in the house of God. They want to hear something from heaven. And they will hear something from heaven. But first of all, you have got to know the author of the book. You've got to know the author of this book. And I know the author of this book. And not only do I know the author of this book, when I read this book and when I preach from this book, I don't just know the author, but the author is also present. He also makes himself known unto me. Yes, and the author speaks to my heart. And the author will give me exactly what needs to be said. But we as people, we don't need to worry about, and I know we do, we have a tendency to worry about things. We have a tendency to worry about this and that. But you know, we need not to worry about things that we cannot help. We cannot help it if the people won't come. The only thing that we can do when we're in church, that we need to be Christ-like. When we leave the house of the Lord, we also need to be Christ-like. That's what the word Christian means, is Christ-like. They don't see many Christians anymore. Why? Because if something happens to go wrong on your job or something like that, and it has in my times past, when I was on a job, that I would be dealing with the public. And I'm going to tell you something, they're the public. The the John Doe public guy here, they know exactly where your last nerve is. And they will push the button on that last nerve. And you know what they're doing? They sense when you answer the phone, or when you talk to them, or you may have talked to them once before, they have sensed that, hey, something different about them. I haven't talked to them before. Something different about them in the way they answer the phone, in the way they approach me. Ma'am, sir, can I help you please? And then when you get off the phone, you say, hope you have a good day. We're praying for you, or something like that. They'll hear all the things about that. But then, after that, the devil will transform his own self into the light. The light that we're supposed to shine. And we're not supposed to cover up that light with any kind of basket. We're not supposed to cover up that light with self-righteousness. But we are individuals that need to be transformed. We need to be transformed by who? God. So when we do speak to someone on there, they'll get to think and say, well, you know, I called here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I believe that they the same ones I talked to. Then the next thing you know, they start telling you what the problem is and everything. And then you say, well, just hold on a second. Let me see if I can correct the problem. Or can I put you on hold for a few minutes or whatever? But they say, no, not me. You ain't put me on hold. You ain't put me on hold. And they'll punch that nerve. They know exactly where the nerve button is. And it's got on that last nerve. And they'll punch it. And when they punch it, Christ don't come out of us then. The devil will come out of us. So we must be mindful. We're not to be deceitful workers. And we must not transform ourselves. It's light. If we're not walking in the light, you cannot be of the light. But we all know about the light, true? So we must walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, then we will have the Lord Jesus Christ through the precious Holy Spirit will help us. So we're down and just trying to get in your skin, down and just think about the positive things now. And it's hard to do that sometimes. But we must listen. We must turn on those spiritual hearing aids that we have. Because a whole lot of times we don't have the spiritual hearing aids on at times. We need them on. For as Christians is concerned, I believe we need to turn them on. And that's it. They'll never go off. And if we have the spiritual hearing aid, we can take the hearing aid that we have and say, hey, Lord, touch the hearing aid that I can hear the voice of the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Christ's finished work at Calvary. That's what it's all about. That is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is the gospel. Christ's finished work, it gives security. Who's it give security to? To the born again believer? That's who. It gives it to me, it gives it to you. If you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, He's the one that gives you the security. Because of that finished work. What was finished? Your redemption. And my redemption. Was finished that day at Calvary. When He said to His mother. And when He said to His brother John. And him down there. That was bowing at His feet. And He was speaking to them. He was speaking to them in a personal way also. And not only that, He was speaking to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. He did not take of the vinegar. He did not take of the bitter cup. He did not take of the wrath that the people were showing upon Him. Oh yes, we have the soldiers there, and no doubt they'll say, hallelujah, we got Him. And old Satan, he's back in the backfield and everything. He just cheered in a moment and said, nah, we got the Savior. We got the Lord Jesus Christ. We got Him. He's done. He's gone. We ain't got to worry about Him no more. What he don't realize is who he's fooling with. He was fooling with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about it. In 3 days, He was going to rise again. And when He rose again, what did He do? He conquered death. He conquered hell. And He conquered the grave. For me and you, we don't have to look at the grave. We don't have to look at hell anymore. Because He conquered it all for us. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness comes by confession. Bye-bye. You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Forgiveness comes by confessing the sin. When we do fall into sin, that sin has been taken care of on the cross by Jesus Christ. And you know something? We have people like here today that I believe that's the reason that they are saved. I think that's the reason that they say they claim to be saved, claim to be a Christian, claim that they love God and everything, and they won't come to the house of God. They said, well, hey, I come to church. What did I do? They come to the church. They bowed on the altar. They cried out to God and asked the Lord to save them. Maybe the Lord did. I don't know. But I will say this. The same Lord Jesus Christ that died on Calvary, that saved my soul from the penalties of hell, they don't know my Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they knew Him in a personal way, if they have ever got saved, then they wouldn't have to worry about being in the house of the Lord. Because they would be here. They would be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any way possible. Unless they had to work. I have no doubt that Sister Nancy would rather be here this morning and be here tonight and be here Wednesday night than to be there on that job. I have no doubt about that. You know the reason I have no doubt about it? You know the reason she wants to be here? Because she's met the Master. She has met the Master. She knows who the Master is. And she loves the Master. There are people here today that don't love him anymore. They say, well, what do you think about this individual and that individual that don't come to church anymore? And look like everything that they do turns to gold. And everything that they will accomplish, I mean, they go out here, they'll buy this and they'll buy that. No sickness comes about towards the end of the family. They have all kinds of money, funds upon them. They'll go out here, they can buy them a brand new home. They go out here and buy them a brand new pickup. $30,000-$40,000 pickup, and then go ahead and buy them a great big old bass boat and everything. And then they go to Bugs Island or flip up Smith Mountain or Philpot or High Cove. They go there on Sunday to fish. Hey, you never have got saved. Because it tells me over here in the book of Hebrews, let me see if I can find it. Says verse 26 in chapter 7, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. That right there, that latter part of that verse, of verse 27 right here, does away with all these people right here that don't believe in eternal security, don't believe once saved, always saved. I'm going to tell you something. You get saved by the Master. You ain't got to worry about going to the Master anymore. If you ever get truly born again, you don't have to go back to the Master and ask the Master, say, well, Master, what time does church start? What time does church start tonight? 6:00? No, they're going to find out. They don't have to go to the Master and ask the Master. They're going to come to one of us and ask us, what time service is tonight? And what time services are Wednesday night? Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin and then for the people. For this he did once. Who did once? The Lord Jesus Christ. One time when he offered up himself. He done it one time. He's not going back to the grave. He's not going back to the cross. He's not going to do it over again. Because if that was the case, we'd never come out of the of the full gospel. We wouldn't come out of the full gospel. We wouldn't even come down to where it mentions about the church in the book of Acts. We wouldn't even come about to where it mentions about Paul going to Damascus, if that was the case. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I sin every day, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And by grace means that I go to Him and confess my sins unto Him. And He is just. And He will forgive me and to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. Because of my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Why? Because the day that I got saved, I didn't drop off this body of flesh. And I didn't drop off the mind, my mind. I didn't drop off any of that stuff. I'm just saved by grace through faith. And that's it. Nothing else. Nothing less. But we also see here also in the in Hebrews talking about the chastisement of God. We see no chastisement within the hearts of the people anymore. And that is a good indication. Matter of fact, that is the only way that we should look and approach people with, is that they have not been dried. They have not been tried. They have not been. Their life has not changed at all. Just like, you know, I've had people come to us and say, so preacher, says, why does the Lord allow this to happen? Why does the Lord allow this sickness upon me, upon my family? Why does the Lord allow this to where I don't have a job anymore? Why does the Lord allow this to happen to me? You may tell you the reason why. Because see, if them things didn't happen to us, we would not need the Lord. We wouldn't need the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I, the day that I got saved, the day that I went to church, was the lowest point of my life. I had tried everything. The lowest point, that was the lowest point of my life. And I said to myself, after I went to church that Sunday, and after I come home that week on my job, I says, there's got to be something better than this. Because at night, I couldn't really go to sleep all that well at night. I didn't go to sleep all of a sudden. You can ask my wife now, I can get to bed now, and I can just turn over and I'm gone. Why? I don't worry about when we'll be at the next morning. I ain't got to worry about if I'm going to be in hell or not. I know I ain't going to be in hell. I'm going to be in the presence of God. And that right there gives you a peace that passes all understanding and gives us assurance in knowing that we're saved by His marvelous grace. Christ's righteousness provides security. His righteousness. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him." He was all righteous. But that day, when He was hanging on the cross, He took the robe of righteousness that He was wearing. And He said, "Father, here it is. Give it to the people. Give it to the people." I stand before you today saying that I'm saved by the grace of God, and I have the robe of righteousness. Whose robe is it? The Lord Jesus Christ's robe of righteousness. And not only that, I have the garment of salvation. You'll find that in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I believe it is. The garment of salvation. What is a garment? A garment is what we put on. And He's asked us the day when He was hanging at Calvary. He says, "Now, this is for the people that He's willing to take off the unrighteousness that they have, and they would accept Me as a Savior, and they would have My righteousness upon them over the garment of salvation." The garment of salvation is put on first, then the robe of righteousness. It's just like the father in the New Testament. After His Son had left home, He just left home, and he didn't really understand why His Father did not want Him to go. He just wanted to go. He was just an individual. He needed to go out here and test the world. He needs to go out here and get into the life and everything. And that's what people today are going to experience life. They're going to go out into the world. But when they go out into the world, they must remember one thing. When you go out into the world, they need to ask themselves a question. What does this world have to offer me? Does it offer me a good time? They can say, "Well, yeah." They can come and they can be talking to me. I said, "Well, hey, you can say the world can offer you a good time." Okay. And I can go back and I can turn around to them and I say, "Well, hey, I'll tell you something better than that. The Lord Jesus Christ offers me better things to look forward to. A joy that is in my heart." And we need to be about the Father's business. But they want the things of the world because they think the world is going to supply everything that they are looking for. But see, what the world supplies is here today and gone tomorrow. But what Jesus supplies is here and forever and evermore. He never gives out of supplies. He never gives out of His promises. Jehovah God, God Almighty, He never failed. Has He ever failed you? Really, I mean, just thinking about it. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever failed you to the point of when you went to Him in prayer, that He wasn't there to listen to you? Has Christ ever disappointed you? He says, by faith, you can have what I've promised you in the book. The Lord's compassion never fails. He always loves us. He's no respected person. He don't love me no more than He does you. And He don't love us no more than He loves the sinner right here. The Lord Jesus Christ loves President of the United States, Obama, the same as He loves me. Because He's no respecter of person. Because He can't say, God didn't love me. No, He didn't say that. No, God loves them. Even God loves the Supreme Court. Even with the decisions that they've made, God still loves them. Yes, God likes to see them saved. I'd love to see them saved. But now faith is a substance of things hoped for and for the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what we are hoping to see one day. That's what faith is all about. It's seeing all the beauty and what heaven bestows. You know, I could go around and ask each one of you this morning, this afternoon while you're at home, sit in and just think about and let your imagination just run wild and think about what you would think heaven is really going to be like. There's 9 of us here. Don't know how many will be back tonight, but hope and pray every one of you will be. But we could come back tonight and each one of us would have something different by what heaven is really going to be like. The only thing that I can say is right now, at the spur of the moment, is that I know. And I know. And I know that my Savior is going to be there. My Savior is going to be there. I got some loved ones that's gone on before me. My grandmothers. My granddaddies. Even a brother has gone on before me. A stepfather has gone on before me. see them one day when I get on the other side. But see, I'm not going to go see them first. I'm going to go see my Lord first. Why? Because He done so much more for me than anybody else on the face of this earth could ever do. He come in the manner in which He come, and He brought the gospel, and He died for the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the coming of the Lord. That's what the gospel is all about. So if we don't have nothing else, we can hang on to that. We can hang on to that. But we need to let people know what the Lord has done for us. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone on the phone this week. And talking to them, and they said, talking about this and that and everything, talking about the Lord and how the Lord, how good the Lord's been to them and everything. And I said, I know it. I said, you know something? The Lord has been so good to the United States. He's been so good to this country. When this country was founded on nothing but the gospel, found biblically on the Word of God, and the government system come about because of the Bible. That's where they got scripture from. That's what they got from. They got it from the Bible. He says, yeah, but why is things happening now the way they're happening? I say, well, it says over in, I think it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, that says, this we know, perilous times is coming. Perilous times is here. We don't have to wait another day. We don't have to wait another week. We don't have to wait another year. We don't have to wait for another court's decision. We don't have to wait for nothing else, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He has said, when all these things come to pass, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And I believe that's the time where we're in, the time right now that the church, the born again believers, need to look up toward the eastern sky, which is towards Israel. And when we can look towards Israel there, and we can say our prayer for Israel, and then God is saying there, well, them people says, I know that they love me because they love Israel. I know that that church loves me because they love Israel, my homeland. Yeah. I know they love me. Why? Because they're looking to me to come back. And if we'll do that, we'll put all our focus on Him and nothing else. And what He, and then what He's done for us as Christians. We go out and tell people. What I'm going to start doing, I think I'm going to start doing, I'm not going to invite people to church. I'm not going to invite them to church, because that's, to me, what I'm doing is I'm giving them an invitation to lie. Because that's what it is. If they tell me they're going to be here Sunday and don't show up Sunday, unless they've given me a call and they are in the hospital sick,
or death has come into the family. Now I think what I'm going to start doing, I'm going to go to him and say, "Here's something. The Lord just put you on my heart this week. The Lord's been so good to me. He's been better to me than I ever deserved. It's nothing that I want. There's a whole lot of things out here I want, but I don't need. The Lord provides for me every day. He has touched my health in ways that I know that He's on the scene. I know that. But He's just been so good to me. And I don't want to do anything at all to hurt Him. And you can just keep on bragging on the Lord. And then you can go. You can ask Him, say, "Well, it's about time I need to leave now. It don't get a little bit too long, I think." And then if they want to talk to you, if they want to ask you about the church, let them bring up the church. Let them bring that up. And when they bring that up, what they have done, they've opened the door for you. And they've opened the door for me. To say, "Yeah. Well, how many of y'all run down to church?" "Well, we're just a little small church right now." Says, "But the people that come, they're faithful to it. And they love God. And we've seen miracles performed at the church. We've seen where He has healed people. We have seen where He has healed a baby. We know it was of the Lord." And I says, "Since you brought up the word church, won't you just come and visit with us?" And I say, "Just come and give us 30 days. 30 days. That's 1 month, and it's not before 4 Sundays or maybe 5 Sundays in that month." I said, 4 Sundays. But try it. Come for Sunday school. You can learn something in Sunday school. Then during the preaching hour, then you can be challenged what you need to do for the week. And then come back on Wednesday, Sunday night if you can. Come back on Wednesday when we have prayer meetings. And that's what we do, we pray. That's what we need to do. We need to just tell the people how much the Lord has done for us. And if their life is so twisted and so jumbled up and everything and don't know which way to turn because they've tried everything else, then they just might give us a try. Why? Because we went to them as a friend. I think a whole lot of times, a whole lot of preachers, and when they go out visiting and knowing that somebody's not in church, knowing somebody's not saved, the first thing they'll say to them, "You know, you need to be saved. You need to get in church. Why should I go through all of that?" They know. They know that they're lost. They've never heard it in a way that maybe we would say it to them. But they know that they need something else than what they got. for what they need. They just need a friend. And I can, we can introduce them to a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that they can go to, and they can talk to him, and don't have to worry about if their friend is going to tell it to somebody or not. Just let them know that we want to be a friend to them. And two, if somebody comes in any church or something like, well, I don't know. I don't know about them. They've been before. They just, right now they seem all enthused about it. But there'll come a time or two and they just won't come no more. If you hear somebody else saying that, you should go to them and say, then you may be the reason for that. We don't need to be doing that. Who we need to be doing is praying for them. We need to be lifting them up to the Lord. Because I had people praying for me. Even after I got saved, I still had people praying for me. Then God dealing with me about the ministry. I had a bunch of people praying for my eye because I did not want to do it. I says, no, Lord. I was like Moses, I was running from him. I said, no, God, not me. You got individuals out here can do a whole lot better job than I can. He says, I didn't come to you and ask you to do it. I come to you and I'm calling you. You leave that up to me. Moses. Moses left it up to him because Moses knew that he could not do it. Come on up over here. Knew he could not do it. So, because Moses, he had a stammering tongue, he stuttered. He could not speak to where people will understand him. He could speak eloquent. And here was Moses telling God all of that. Like God didn't know nothing. And God knew it all. But God told Moses, says, Moses, I just want you to preach. And what did he do? He spoke to Aaron. He spoke to Abram. But Abram would speak to him. Speak through Moses. Abram is a type of the Holy Spirit. So we must go about doing what the Lord wants us to do. What He's asked us to do, we need to be mindful in the way that we do it. We need to make sure that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is in the center of everything that we do. Brother Bill?
Page 235.
You stand.